Hi, I'm Matt Martin, General Manager of KALW, and I welcome you to the Manager's Report to the Listeners. I'm taking a break from regular programming. Usually you'd be hearing Fresh Air now, and it will be back on Monday as usual. Tomorrow at this time you'll be hearing the CBC's Day 6. But once in a while I get on the air to talk with you about developments at the station, about plans we have for the future, things we're thinking about that we want to expand and grow, and also to take the opportunity to talk to and hear from you. So on this Manager's Report tonight, it's a bit special because this is an important year in KALW's history. We are marking 75 years on the air. And this was the first FM station in San Francisco when it went on the air in 1941. And at this point, we are the oldest FM station west of the Mississippi. And you may have heard a couple of different things from us about that on the air, just to explain why we're the first in San Francisco. And we're actually also the oldest west of the Mississippi educational station. But there were a couple of FM stations that went on the air in L.A. In 1940, so just a little bit before we did. But those stations are no longer in operation. But we are still going strong here. And although Ira Glass has made fun of us, I don't know if you've heard the station ID he does where he says, if you choose your radio station like a fine wine, then this is the right station for you. It actually is a big deal for a station like this that has remained community-based and non-commercial and independent to have survived this long, and not just to be here, but to be stronger and more vital than it really has ever been. I've been at the station for 15 years, so I can really only talk about the time that I have seen here at the station. But I know how much growth has gone on in this time, how many more people are here, how much more original programming there is. And I also know that when I go to meetings of public radio program directors or administrators, managers, people like me who sit behind desks, people know about KALW in a way they simply didn't when I first came here as a producer in 2001. And that is because this community has gotten behind this station and kept it strong and really supported us as we've tried new things, experimented with new programmings, tried to, you know, sometimes we succeed, sometimes we fail. But as a community, we have really supported this resource and kept it going. And I think that is something we are going to celebrate throughout this year. And so I just want to take a moment here at the beginning of this 75th anniversary year to mark that and to say, you know, we are on this independent path for a simple reason, and that is because you and many, many other people who have listened and supported the station have believed in it and made it happen. I mean, this is a station that began as an experiment. FM, when we went on the air in 1941, was something that very few people had a way to listen to. And as a matter of fact, we were unearthing some old documents from the station that we found a couple of days ago, which were letters from people around the country, who were hearing KALW on FM in 1941. People in Pennsylvania. People in British Columbia. There's a whole bunch of all these different letters. And the reason was there was so little on the FM band at that time that you could hear it across the country. That's not the case anymore. Fortunately, now you can hear KALW online everywhere in the world. But it just gives you a sense of like, oh, this was totally new territory. And it was a group of teachers at the San Francisco Unified School District who said, hey, there's this new technology. We'd like to teach our students about it. And little did they know, just a few months after they put this station on the air in September of 1941, that there would be a world war into which the United States would be drawn. And this station would become a training ground for radio operators who would be in that war. And an additional innovation driven by that, by the fact that many of these radio operators, the men, were going off into war zones, women were being trained as radio engineers to take the civilian positions that men were no longer filling in the 1940s. So there were some of the first women broadcast engineers trained at KALW in the 1940s. So just to give a sense, right from the beginning, something innovative happening here at the station. This was also one of the first stations in the country to adopt NPR programming in the early 70s. As educational broadcasting switched into public radio, KALW was there involved in that. We became the BBC West Coast station of record. Great stories by one of our colleagues, Alan Farley, who used to be at the station, who would talk about how they would be, you know, putting a shortwave antenna out the window at the school where they were so they could capture BBC broadcasts and put them on the air here. Okay, that's the kind of baling wire, scotch tape kind of approach that we have here at KALW, but it's always been about having new content, interesting content, and expanding what can be done. if you look most recently at the kind of podcast boom in public radio, and you ask where are the places where you'd say that really started, where right now, you know, everyone is interested in podcasts like Serial that are out, and people say, oh, well, this is where it's really happening, public radio, the podcasts that are coming out of that. Well, I think there's a good argument to be made that that podcast boom of public radio began right here at KALW with 99% Invisible, that was started by Roman Mars here as, you know, a tiny radio show about design, a few minutes on the air that you heard in Morning Edition here on KALW, that we partnered with him and with the American Institute of Architects in San Francisco to start that show. And it became a huge phenomenon. And of course, Roman's talent has driven it from the beginning. But it's making a space for those new ideas and new productions that happens here. Because people here have said, yes, let's take some risks. Let's make something new. Let's make something different that's not going to happen in commercial broadcasting and honestly isn't going to happen most places in public radio. That's what we're here to do. And we do it with your support and your partnership. And I'm very glad to say that we enter this calendar year 75 years into the history of this station, and it's really the first time that we are beginning a calendar year with a set of strategic priorities, with a plan for the future that includes a real mission statement and some real statements of core values that have come from a broad-based process that happened here in the station. Over 50 of our staff, our volunteer programmers, and the kind of heart and soul folks who volunteer in our front office and at pledge drives taking part in that. And we have a mission statement that we're working from and trying to integrate into what we do on a daily basis. I want to share it with you. Our mission at KALW is to create joyful, informative media that engages people across the divides in our community. That's the core of what we try to do here. And over the holidays, I was actually rereading National Public Radio's original statement of purpose, which was written by a guy named Bill Simmering, whose career has inspired me. He's one of those people like I read about, and I go, oh, my God, well, this is the kind of person whose ideas are somehow part of what I think of public radio being about, even if I didn't really know about him until a couple of years ago. And in that statement, you can see, and actually I've posted it on our website. If you go to the on the front page, there's a thing there about the report to the listeners. You can click on that and you can find a link both to this original statement of purpose for NPR, but also to a bit of a bio, a memoir that he wrote about his first 50 years in radio. I invite you to check it out. It's really fascinating. But one of the things in reading through this is that I noticed that in this original statement of purpose, the words joy and joyful showed up three different times. And I was so fascinated by that because when we came out of our process of coming up with this mission statement of saying we want to create joyful, informative media, joyful is the one word that really caught people's attention. Either they go, oh, I love that, or they go, why is that there? Does that really belong? I think it's something that stood out there. And the fact that this original statement of purpose from National Public Radio actually included that made me go, okay, we're part of this longer, larger stream that we're trying to keep alive here. And I think there's something about not just presenting information, but being engaged with the world in a way that, yes, does involve joy, that is part of what keeps our hearts pumping here at KALW, and I hope part of what draws you to the station. Now, this beginning of the 75th year on the air happens to coincide with something which is a little unusual, which is that right now I'm speaking to you from temporary studios, which are located. I know that most folks who are listening, you have not been to our studios in their usual form, but they are in a wing of Burton High School, the southeast side of San Francisco between Portola and Visitation Valleys near McLaren Park. And so we're in, you know, kind of one back corner of a high school. Well, right now we are in some portable buildings. You know, imagine this kind of, you know, brown classroom buildings that they sometimes put overflow classes into. Now, these have been designed with studios in them. We've got some extra sound protection, which we need because there's some demolition going on outside. And we are set up in here for the next 6 months. We, while our main studios are being spruced up, we are in here operating for the next 6 months. It is not a perfect broadcast situation. I say I was just feeling a little rumbling outside. Hopefully too much of that isn't coming across on the air. But I have to say that the last few weeks of moving from our location where we've been for nearly 20 years into these temporary structures, when I'm looking back on this over the past few weeks, sure, there have been some stressful moments where we're like, are we going to be able to keep this on the air? Are we going to be able to, you know, take calls from listeners? Are we going to be able to do a number of other things that we would normally do in broadcasting? But what I've most come away with is the fact that the team of people who are committed to this station, from the core staff to our volunteers who come in and stuff envelopes, just all the resilience and heart of the people involved in this station and how important that is to always keeping the station going. And so even though there have been some technical hiccups, I really want to thank people who have been involved in this process. I will name just a few people. This is not everybody who's rolled with all the punches through this. KLW News Managing Editor Julie Kane, very helpful in the process while doing her day job of helping keep KLW News on the air, really helped me in planning for this move, which was a huge help. Annette Bistrup, our development director, who, I know folks who are in nonprofits know, the end of the year is one of the big times for fundraising. And so even though we're not on the air asking for support, that's when we are reaching out to a lot of our listeners and saying, hey, at the end of the year here, please give your support. Annette was doing this heavy-duty work of fundraising while literally like carrying her desk from one location to another and hoping that she was going to have an internet connection when she got there. So thank you to Annette, to Emily Allgaier, to Chris Hambrick, folks who've kept that going. Bill Helgeson, our operations director, needless to say, there were a lot of operational issues over the last few weeks. He has been great. Shipra Shukla, who is doing our traffic operations, also, once again, making sure we had the basic information in front of our announcers and hosts on the air. Speaking of the announcers and hosts, I think of Joe Burke, Debbie Kennedy, Kevin Vance, showing up on the first days when we were in these new locations, when in this new location, where really they just couldn't be sure what would be there for them to do. And the fact that they're just straight up broadcast professionals are what kept us sounding good. So I want to thank all of those folks, and plus our programmers, like Dana Rodriguez, Minds Over Matter. This is a call-in show. He said, you know what, we can't. Our phones aren't going to be set up yet, so what I'm going to do is do a show of kind of classic American songs from the 30s and 40s that I love. I got so many emails from listeners saying how much they enjoyed that. This is the kind of just like saying, you know what, when all else fails, let's make some radio. These are people who can do it, and I really, really appreciate those efforts across the board here at the station. And then just one last thing. On Monday, the Cross Currents crew came in. If you'd seen what is now our newsroom, what it consisted of at that point was like basically a pile of tables, chairs, and broadcast equipment in no particular order. And in about 3 hours, they basically did a barn raising of a news department. And so it was just really amazing. Like Monday afternoon, I'm like, oh my God, this looks totally together. So it's everybody just doing that work that makes me thankful to be part of this institution and seeing how much these really talented and heartful people give. So I want to thank those folks. And I want to thank listeners because at this point, you know, I mean, we did not have a choice about when this renovation was going to happen to our space. Basically, San Francisco voters a few years back voted for Proposition A, which set aside bond money that would be used to renovate and upgrade high schools around San Francisco. And it was Burton High School's turn. And so, you know, when it came up, we said, you know, we certainly knew about it. We could plan for it. But it wasn't when we chose for it to happen. But fortunately, because KALW supporters have been so generous, we have come from a place 5 years ago at this same time of the year. Oh, hold on. I have to say one thing before I go ahead with this. Joanne Marr, saving me, as is often the case. I have this written down here, but I skipped it. Numero uno, I want to thank for our move process, Phil Hartman, our chief engineer, who folks may not know, he moonlights with us. We're his second job. This process over the last few weeks, I knew it was going to be complicated. He told me it was going to be complicated. But until I really saw what he had to take apart and put back together again, I did not understand. And he basically was spending every evening hour, every weekend hour, days that should have been his holidays, here getting us together so I can be here talking to you now and so you can hear the programs you value. Thank you, Phil. I just... giving so much above, beyond, around, all of that just means so much. But as I said, we didn't get to choose when this renovation was going to happen. But when it did, we're fortunately in a position where we can say, okay, our space is going to be renovated as part of this bond. But when it comes to our core broadcast facilities, we're responsible for any upgrades that are going to happen. 5 years ago, really almost exactly 5 years ago, KALW had drawn its financial reserves down to zero and just below. Basically, the school district, which has not supported the station with cash support, lots of in-kind services, but no cash support for over 20 years, they said, you know what, at this point, we're paying your bills. And we actually had to have an emergency fundraiser to get the station back up above zero again. Since then, listeners have been so great, have made it so that we have now well over $500,000 cash reserve. that we can then set aside at this moment. We have this opportunity to upgrade our facilities when we move back in the summer. We now can spend a good chunk of that on getting brand new studio consoles, on redesigning the interior of our studios so that there will be more space to do production, more space for live music performances, more to create the radio that the folks who've supported this station value. So I just want to thank everyone who's come through in that way, because you've made it possible for us to do things that 5 years ago, if it had been time for us to renovate this space, we would have not been able to do. So thanks to everyone for coming through in that way. So we really are here as a community in this institution to demonstrate the potential of a kind of media that is not about profit or ideology, but it's about responding to curiosity and our sense of our shared humanity. And I was looking at that NPR statement of purposes, and one of the quotes from it that just, this is the kind of thing I can hold on to is, "National public radio will not regard its audience as a market or in terms of its disposable income, but as curious, complex individuals who are looking for some understanding, meaning, and joy in the human experience." And I really love that, because it really says one of the fundamental things is, what's the relationship between the broadcaster and the people who are listening? And the idea is, we are all people looking for meaning and joy and understanding. And that is what we're here to create together. And that is what motivates me in this work, and I know many of the people that I work with, is that we want to demonstrate that this kind of different institution that has a different relationship between a radio station or any kind of media outlet and the people who participate in it, that we can make programming that isn't just the equal of, or, you know, comparable to what comes out of commercial outlets or outlets that have a different kind of attitude towards the audience, but stuff that is better and is different and is distinct simply because it is from this different relationship. And so, I mean, I could name many programs, but I think about a show like Your Call or 99% Invisible or Philosophy Talk. These are programs that don't happen somewhere other than a place just like this. And so I want to, that's what we're here to keep going. One of the programs that I would also name like that is Out in the Bay, which is a program that Marilyn Pittman, Eric Jansen, and David Latuleap started about 11 years ago. They said, you know what? Here we are in one of the, when it comes to LGBT communities, San Francisco, this is one of the, one of the places on earth that people associate with those communities. And there was not a broadcast outlet that was saying, here's a program really devoted to those issues, to those voices. And they came to Nicole Sawaya, the manager at that time, and said, we want to make this happen. And they began it, and Eric and Marilyn kept it going until this past year, when they said to me that they kind of felt, from their own kind of personal place in terms of doing the work and where they were and what they'd done with the show, that they wanted to wrap up their involvement with Out in the Bay and leave putting those voices forward to some other folks for the future. So Out in the Bay, which has been heard at 7 o'clock on Thursdays for over the last 10 years, is not going to be there at 7 o'clock tonight. You're going to be hearing This Way Out, the gay and lesbian news magazine out of Los Angeles that we've been broadcasting at 7:30. I want to thank Eric and Marilyn for their work on the show and keeping it going. And I also want to say that we are committed to keeping voices from and programming by, for, and about queer communities in the Bay Area on KALW. And, I'm definitely going to be looking for partners and people who will keep that work going. Right now, though, we're going to have a pause around that here, at least coming directly from the station. But I do want to, I want to note that this is the kind of thing that happens at a place that keeps its door open to new ideas and to people who have passion around programming and to make it happen. So thanks to Eric. Thanks to Marilyn for their work. And we will keep that legacy going on in other modes. We're also going to be using the 7 o'clock spot on Thursdays in the next few months to develop some new local productions, first of which we actually did a debut of at the end of October last month. And that was Kamau Right Now. If you heard it on the air, it's a reviewer called it a radical live talk show. And that's what it is. Debbie Kamau Bell, he's a comedian, he's a social commentator, he's connected with all kinds of ideas and people. And he had an idea for how he wanted to do a live radio show. And so we have partnered with him to do that. That first broadcast was from the Freight and Salvage in Berkeley. If you were there or if you heard it on the radio, you know there's nothing else being done like this anywhere. And it was just, I mean, I was there that night and I've got to hear the broadcast since then. And it was just very exciting. Some rough edges, no doubt, some unpredictable moments. But hey, it's live radio in front of a live audience. But we were excited enough about what happened that we are going to be continuing that, doing an hour live for the next 3 months, January, February, and March, third Thursdays. And if you want, the first one is going to be at the New Parish in Oakland. That's in downtown Oakland. That is Thursday, January 21st at 7 p.m. Then in February, we're going to be going to the Swedish American Hall here in San Francisco. And then in March, we'll be back over in Oakland at Impact Hub in downtown Oakland. You can find information at klw.org. The first two shows, tickets are available. And so if you're interested in being there, great. If you want to just tune in, it will be exciting. And I've gotten to hear about some of the guests and people that Kamau is going to be talking with. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Kamau right now coming up. And also next Thursday, we're going to start a four-part series hosted by Dr. Don Gross, who is a specialist in palliative and hospice care, talking about really transforming the taboo we have around conversations around death and dying. I mean, we have changes going on, obviously, here in California with the laws around our end-of-life options. Also changes in Medicare that are happening about doctors being able to talk with people about their end-of-life plans. And these are changes, the big societal changes that are happening at a time, let's face it, these are issues most of us as individuals have a hard time talking about with. Physicians often are not prepared for these questions. Neither are your institutions, but this change is happening. And so Dr. Gross came to me with a proposal about a program that would address some of these issues and invite listeners to take part in them. It's called Dying to Talk. And it's going to be starting next Thursday at 7 p.m. and each month through April on the second Thursdays of the month. So I invite you to tune in for that. And you can find more information about that on our program guide that is posted right now at kalw.org. And that's also where you can find out about some new programs that are on the station. Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. You've heard it as a monthly show for the last couple of years. It's become a weekly show. We're airing it Mondays at 11 a.m., just after your call. Also, I'm really glad to say that we've brought on a new program hosted by Angie Coiro, who I really think is one of the Bay Area's great interviewers. She's partnered with Kepler's Books in Menlo Park. Thank you, in Menlo Park. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. In Menlo Park, doing a show from there, which we're broadcasting on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. And finally, we got a really interesting series that's come out of WFMT in Chicago called Shanghai Spring, and it is all about the explosion of the classical music scene in China. Really interesting documentary stuff. 2 hours, 9 to 11 p.m., Monday nights, January and February. So I invite you to tune in for all those new programs on the station. All right. I've been talking for a long time. I can tell my mouth is dry. I'm getting dizzy. Now I want to invite you to participate in this program. This is the report to the listeners, but as much as you hearing from me, I want to hear from you. The number to call is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. We are celebrating the beginning of KALW's 75th year on the air. I know we have people, I've gotten notes from people who've been listening to this station, you know, since 1972, 1973, longtime listeners. If you're one of those people who has stayed tuned to this station for many decades and there's something that's kept you connected to it, we'd love to hear from you. If you are someone who has simply, you know, in the last week, the last month, the last year, gotten tuned to 91.7 FM and you find something valuable here, I would love to hear what it is that draws you to the station and what you would like to hear. We have a sense of possibility. We are all about partnering with the community, partnering with listeners, partnering with creative people who have ideas, and that starts with you, 415-841-4134. I know some folks don't want to call in and be on the air. You're welcome to email me, Matt, M-A-T-T, at KALW.org. That's Matt at KALW.org. I'm Matt Martin, General Manager of KALW. This is the Manager's Report. I'll be back in just a moment. ¶¶ I'm Matt Martin, General Manager of KALW, and you're listening to the Manager's Report to the Listeners. This is an occasional program where I talk with you about what's happening at KALW, what we're thinking about for the future, and in this case, marking the legacy of 75 years on the air here at local public radio. And there's no better way to mark that legacy than by talking with the listeners who've kept this station going and growing. The number to call if you'd like to join us, 415-841-4134. You can also email me at matt@kalw.org. I just got an email here from Andrea who says, "Hi, Matt. Congratulations on KALW's 75th anniversary. You have much to be proud of, among which your appreciative listeners' members. My favorites, left, right, and center, Terry Gross, Jim Hightower, Garrison Keillor, The Moth Radio Hour, Saturday Folk Block, Joe Burke, BBC." Matt Martin. Oh, thank you, Andrea. She says, "I don't get / like Harry Shearer, the program replacing Car Talk." That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Rose Aguilar, not a Rose Aguilar fan. Cross Currents, sorry, I know it's local. She says, "Suggestions, how about some classical music? Thanks for caring." Thank you, Andrea, for that email. We do have some classical music. I'd certainly say Revolutions per Minute with Sarah Cahill on Sunday nights. And then, of course, the programs we bring to you on Monday evenings. And I should mention, if you are someone who has appreciated explorations in music, the partnership we've had with SF Performances, Alexander String Quartet, and Robert Greenberg, hosted by KALW's David LaTulipe, that will be returning. We're continuing that partnership later this year. And I also want you to know that we are talking about some new programming, working with Old First Church here in San Francisco, and also resuming our partnership with the Conservatory of Music, David LaTulipe and Eric Wayne, his producer on those programs, working on that. So stay tuned for more original classical music programming here on KALW. Also have an email from Rosemary, who says, "I live in Berkeley, and I'm a longtime subscriber to KALW. I'll be 84 in June of 2016. I still work every day and turn on KALW for my early breakfast just before 5 o'clock in the morning. I especially love the early morning reports from the BBC. It takes me back to my childhood in Edinburgh, Scotland, where I was born and lived through World War II. At 5 a.m. our time, it's early or afternoon in the United Kingdom." Thank you so much for that email, Rosemary. Also got an email from Helen, who says, "Good morning, Matt. I might not be home in time to catch this evening's report, but this prompted me to write finally about the technical problems I've been experiencing. I know the move for the remodeling caused some of the problems, such as phones being down for Minds Over Matter, but even long before that, I have often lost the signal for KALW on my internet radio. I have no problems with receiving other internet stations, but KALW often just goes dead. Do you know why?" Helen, thank you so much for sending this email. And I will say, if you are someone who listens to the station online, when you ever experience an interruption, please email me, matt@kalw.org, because sometimes we may not know that there is an issue with a particular operating system, with a particular channel that you listen through. And so it's important for us to get that feedback because we can't monitor all of those. I will say that we have had some issues around, you know, basically around our internet connection that we use to stream, that goes to the streaming service that we use, and then on from there. And yes, some of that is related to our move to these portable studios that we're in right now, but that's not all there is about it. But I can tell you that me and our chief engineer, Phil Hartman, are very much aware of these issues and are working on them. Basically, we have gone through a couple of different options for how we do that streaming and have still yet to find one that really is working well when it comes to that internet connection. So all I can tell you, Helen, is that I know you are not alone and that I appreciate you bearing with that. And when those interruptions happen, please bring them to my attention in real time. It is very helpful to hear that. So I want to go to our first caller, who's called into 415-841-4134, and that is Ed. Ed, welcome to the program.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't expect to be first. Matt, your station, if I can get my words in front of me, is fantastic. KALW, I don't know, every day I recommend it to somebody. If it's not your call, it's 78 revolutions per minute. or philosophy talk. I was just recommending that the other night, and people say, yeah, I heard that once. I don't know where it is. K-A-L-W. You can get it in Berkeley, some places. But okay, so it's fantastic. I do miss hearing your call in the evening, the nights it's not broadcast, because I can't listen to it in the early part of the day. So I know that there's other priorities, but you know, I just let you know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't seem to get, if I miss revolutions per minute, I can't get it, and I haven't been able to get anything. You do allow these to be listened to for the next week, right?
Right.
Well, I have been unable to bring any of them up, so I don't know what's with that. It could be my computer. So that's another thing.
You've gone to our local music player and tried to play from there?
I don't know if I've tried that, but I tried everything that was available on the screen.
Well, so just to let folks know, because you may not be the only person who's had this issue, if you go to KALW.org, there's your kind of navigation bar across the top. One of them says Music and Arts. If you pull that down, the first thing that comes up is Local Music Player, and that actually will get you through to the place where you can listen to the archived shows from the past week.
Okay.
So try that, and if you have an issue with it, feel free to email me, and we can try to connect and see if we can make it work for you.
Good deal. And you can't hear it after a week, right?
Yep.
It's just the music programs, right?
Yep. It's all about music rights issues.
ASCAP or something. Yeah, yeah.
Those people.
Yeah. I know KPFA has 2 weeks. I don't know what the deal is with why the difference. But
they just have they have a better tool than we do. But that's basically the idea is you can keep, in terms of music rights, you can keep a short-term archive. You just can't have something on for a long period of time. So they do it for 2 weeks.
Space.
We do it for one.
You need space, I guess. Is space on the archive, I suppose.
No, there's plenty of space on the archive. Oh. It's just in terms of, I say, we just legally, our understanding is we need to keep a short-term archive when it comes to music programs.
Oh, well, they have a 2 week, which is short, but anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so now, let's see. I heard the China program, and I think it's an excellent documentary. But it doesn't fill my classical music itch. It seemed to be kind of light classical music, pop, like the Boston Pops kind of. There was a couple pieces toward the end, but they weren't really that interesting. Anyway, that was my first hit. I mean, I've only heard the first show, but
yeah, there's going to be a lot of I, who knows whether it'll scratch your itch, but there'll be a lot of different kinds of music you'll hear over the 8 weeks of that program. It's called Shanghai Spring. It's on Monday nights.
Right, exactly. And it's 2 hours, and I miss Jim Schweda. And
he'll be back in March.
Yeah, the other programs that you had on there, in the first hour, were of such excellence, consistent excellence, season after season. It's a very interesting anthropological look at China, and I appreciate that. But as far as the music thing, I doesn't fill me up. Okay, so
Adam, I'm gonna.
Let's see.
I appreciate you calling.
Make it quick. Let's see your call. Oh God.
Ed.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling.
I
appreciate it. I'm going to read an email from Annalise, who wrote in to matt@klw.org to give her feedback. She says, "Hi, Matt and all the wonderful staff at KALW. I'm a faithful and enthusiastic listener. Radio has been a very important part in my entire life. I got introduced to the green radio light and all the magic it held for me when I was a child in Europe. One of the wonderful things for me was a 5-minute children's bedtime story. I think in this day and age of visual stimulation, children might enjoy a bedtime story. These are your future listeners. On a whole, I think it's important to entice and introduce children to radio. They're the future. Sometimes I feel like the station caters to older folks like myself. Keep up the good work, Anna." Thank you so much, Anna, for that idea. Let's go next to Jackie, who's called in to 415-841-4134. Jackie, welcome to the Manager's Report.
Oh, thank you, Matt. It seems to me you have a fairly extensive staff of KALW News, but I seem to feel that their only output is a half hour, four nights a week, and that's Cross Current.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if KALW News might be able to do on the hour, 1 minute or so updates on local news and weather, especially coming into El Nino season now. And if you could utilize KALW News throughout the day rather than just that half-hour Cross-Current segment four times a week.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, that's definitely something that Ben Trefney, our news director, and I have talked about. I mean, I should let you know that, I mean, that half-hour of a, you know, half-hour news magazine produced is actually very labor-intensive. And while we certainly have a solid staff for the program, I'll let you know, many of the names you hear, those are people who are trainees or volunteers that are in on the program. So just what can sound like a cast of thousands may be a little smaller than you might imagine. But that question of how to bring updates, local news updates throughout the day is one that we have grappled with. And it may well be a priority for us in the future. And certainly I'm interested to hear that would be important to you. When it comes to what you'd want to hear in short local news updates beyond kind of weather, that stuff, are there any kind of particular things you'd want to hear?
Yeah, city hall issues, homeless issues. KQED seems to have, after the NPR news break at the top of the hour, they seem to have a 1 minute or so
sure.
Local news update, and it's just hyper local. So, and again, during this upcoming weather that we may be getting, hopefully, it would be very nice to be kept abreast of perhaps, you know, traffic issues, commuting issues, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, Jackie, I appreciate your call.
You're welcome. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks so much. You're listening to the Manager's Report here on KALW. I'm Matt Martin, station's general manager, inviting your calls, your questions, your ideas, your comments. You can email matt@yourcallradio.org. Matt@KALW.org. Or you can call 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And I want to share an email from Kate, who says, "Hi, Matt. Even though I moved to Denver last spring, I stream KALW and feel connected to my old San Francisco roots. I, too, sometimes lose the stream, but I love hearing my old radio friends and shows. Unlike the previous emailer, I love Rose Aguilar. I think she's an amazing asset not only to KALW but to the airwaves in general. I can't get through a day without fresh air and love the Garrison Keillor spot before the morning broadcast." Kate, thank you so much for that email. And of course, I'm interested things you love, things you question, things you're concerned about, and things you imagine that KALW could do as a community resource. I welcome you to call in at 415-841-4134, or you can email matt@kalw.org. I will say, I thought there was something critical that Kate was going to say, and I would share that. But in fact, she went on to say a couple more things that she likes, which is great. But I want to get to some other emails, including one from Mary, who says, "KALW is awesome. I especially love the local programming. It outshines much of the NPR broadcast and has more personality. One program that puzzles me is West Coast Live. Does anyone really listen to that? How about asking for a show of hands for members? I find the program dull, and I am usually utterly normal as far as trends. I'm never ahead of the curve. I salute you for dropping any further reruns of Car Talk. Much love, Mary." Thank you so much, Mary, for the email. Yeah, we do have a lot of listeners for West Coast Live. That show has been a staple on Saturday mornings for a long time. Yeah, it's got a lot of faithful folks. I mean, I do think basically the idea of the show of hands, I think the idea of a kind of more comprehensive listener survey, obviously not just about West Coast Live, but more broadly, is called for. I actually was looking at some of the old results from a survey we did many years ago, and it made me think, oh, it is high time for us to do that again, because while it's great to do these managers' reports, there's obviously many, many people who we don't hear from, and it would be good to invite them. I want to go next to the phone and hear from Jim in Berkeley. Jim, welcome to the Managers Report.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to put in a really big plug for Cross Currents because I know that the previous caller was saying something about getting, you know, little news bits in there. But Cross Currents offers something that you really don't hear in other stations. It has a wonderful sound to it, feel about it. It covers the whole Bay Area. I just love the variety and the diversity of issues that you discuss. So I also wanted to encourage more, and maybe there's a plan for this, more docu-radiomentaries, you know, longer pieces in Cross Currents.
All right.
Because when I've heard those, they've just been the kind you don't get out of the car. You just sit in the car and wait, you know, till they're done. And I know they take a lot more resources, but I just think, again, you're not hearing that on other stations. You're not hearing that kind of depth.
No, I mean, definitely the decision that we made as we developed Cross Currents and developed KALW News was to try, you know, there are obviously some stations that do great spot local reporting, KQED, which the listener mentioned, of course, KCBS, KGO, less than they used to, but they still do that kind of thing. And our decision was, given the resources we had, to try to do more depth reporting, more things that kind of are focused on human stories and longer form things like you're talking about. You're certainly right. Doing a half-hour or hour-long documentary, having gotten to watch a few of those produced in our news department, I understand in a way that I didn't before how much goes into that. But I agree, that's what really has a long-term impact on you. You go, oh, my God, that's a piece of work that stays with me, and we certainly want to make those happen.
Yeah. And the other thing is, do you air pieces from youth radio ever?
Sure. Actually, we do. On Cross Currents, we often use pieces that that come from youth radio. So.
Good. We
can always do more.
Yeah, thank you so much, really.
Thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it.
Sure, okay.
And I understand that we have Ed back. Ed, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
One last thought.
Just typing you out something on the internet. Let me turn my radio off. Hold on a second.
While we're waiting for Ed to come back, I wanted to read a couple more emails. Marilyn writes in. She says, I listen to KALW day and night. I deeply appreciate your programming and ethic. I especially love Rose Aguilar. Have learned so much from her programs that I would not find anywhere else. It's a very highly valuable community service. I also follow Terry Gross and try not to miss her programs. Thank you so very much for all that you and your staff do. With deep appreciation, Marilyn. Marilyn, thank you very, very much for that email. And also hear from Eric, who says he's not a giant Your Call fan. He says, I loved and missed the Saturday night BBC coverage. We now do public radio remix on Saturday night overnight. Six other days a week between midnight and 5, you'll hear BBC on KALW. And he says, I have an idea. Put Roman's Saturday overnight in the 11 p.m. Your Call replay slot. What's the point of replaying a call-in show? And bring back the BBC on Saturdays. How do you think the Friday night drama show is working out? I'm liking it more than I thought. Unlike others, I love waking up to Wait on Saturday. So Eric's talking about LA Theater Works that we now broadcast on Friday evenings. I've heard generally good response from listeners about it. I can't say I've gotten a lot of response to it. So, you know, if you're someone who has either appreciated LA Theater Works or has not been tuning in on Friday nights because of that, I'd love to hear from you, and I'm glad to hear you like Wait on Saturday mornings. The number to call if you'd like to join us here on the Manager's Report is 415-841-4134. And Ed, do you have your radio turned down now?
Yes, I'm all set. Thank you very much. Well, that's so funny, the person, because I really liked, I love Reveal. I just want to put a plug in for that. And I do like the overnight Saturday night. If I'm not careful, I can be addicted to that thing. I'll just listen to it all night long. I'll wake up at 5, I'll be up at 5 o'clock in the morning listening to that. And so, and then the other thing I was thinking is, it just drives me nuts about the advertisement for the morning. What is it called? The the morning show, the morning coverage. What is it called? The stuff that comes in the morning. It starts at 5:30, and then at 9. What's it?
Fresh Air?
No. You switch over to a morning show at 5:30.
In the mornings. Yeah, in the morning we do NPR's Morning Edition from 5 to 9 a.m.
Morning edition, and it's advertised late at night when people are not going to wake up at 5 o'clock. We're at 10, 11 o'clock. It's advertised, and I listened to it a couple times, and it's just it's mostly Cumberland's about really small pieces of stuff. I really have no like for that.
I got your message.
I like your locally produced shows, but that stuff when the other stuff when NPR is good, but the stuff in the morning is just, I can't take it.
All right, Ed. Thank you for the call. We've got a couple of folks on the line we want to get to. John in San Francisco. John, good to have you on the Manager's Report. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Matt. I want to accentuate the positive. I listen to your station all the time and really enjoy it. I'll mention a few of the programs I really like. Alternative Radio. I actually have them written down, so I will read.
Good for you, John.
Fascinating Rhythm. Fresh Air. I listen to that all the time. Jim Hightower. I'd like to hear more of him. A 2-minute slot isn't enough for me. LA Theater Works. Le Show. I love it. The Moth Radio Hour. Minds Over Matter. I always listen to that.
It's fun.
I'm kind of concerned. Oh, the Record Shelf. I've been listening to that for years. I used to live in L.A. Anyway, the point is there's only an hour of that, and now it seems to be not on the air for the moment because of the, Shanghai?
Yep, Shanghai Spring. It's a short run.
I enjoy that, too. Good. I like classical music. But I hope that the Record Shelf comes back at some point soon.
First week in March, it'll be back.
Last Philosophy Talk, I really like that. The Travis Smiley Show, This American Life, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I love that. Your Legal Rights. So there are a lot of programs I really like. If I have one complaint, it's too much bluegrass on Saturday. It seems like American folk music and bluegrass for 5 hours of one kind or another. I'd like to hear some more international world music other than just that. Maybe a little more variety.
John, I appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, and appreciate the support. And I'm all for accentuating the positive. We can live with that. I got an email here from Colin who says, I turned back to KLW a couple of years ago after growing tired of constant ads and painful pledge drives. I love Morning Edition with the BBC, and Joe Burke and his almanac is a treasure. I enjoy West Coast Live. He says there's been some audio problems, and actually, I was talking with Sedge Thompson this week about those, Colin says, hope you can get that sorted out. Definitely, Sedge is working on that. Appreciate that you dropped Car Talk and brought on Wait. Also, I travel a lot, and KALW's live stream is a great comfort to me. Thank you so much, Colin. I really appreciate you getting in touch. Let's go next to Vicky, who's called in for the program. Hi, Vicky.
Hi. Thank you so much for your good work and your great radio station.
You're welcome.
So I have one suggestion.
Sure.
I would love to hear more good news. I think a lot of good things are going on in the world, and talk about accentuating the positive. I would like to hear more about affiliation, people supporting each other. I think that's part of the news, and we don't hear it enough.
Vicky, that is a great idea, and one people call in or email me about. You know, it's not on a weekly basis, but not, you know, people regularly go, how do we pay attention to the things that are going right? And I know I sit, for instance, in the Eurocall editorial meeting each week. We feel like there's these incredibly challenging things that need to be addressed. And then we try to ask, you know, is there a way we can approach this, which isn't just saying everything is going downhill and no one seems to be doing anything about it, because we know that is, in fact, not the case. But I carry that with me, and certainly I know that a lot of our programmers are listening and are paying attention as well.
Well, I really like your call, and I think they've talked over years about learned helplessness, and when you hear about things that are awful without some or some piece about what can be done about it, I just think that that's proactive, and I really appreciate everyone's work on your station.
Thank you,
Vicki.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bruce, who's calling from the Excelsior, a neighborhood near to KALW here in San Francisco. Welcome, Bruce.
I want to give a shout-out for Jim Hightower. I don't think anybody is more accurate and funny and creative in analyzing the situations that we're in. And it's just a great... radio station there. A couple of things just to suggest. I would concur with the earlier speaker who said more programs for teenagers, children to be involved in because they're the future. And another question I had was with live music there, is there a studio where people can come by, walk, neighborhood, live close by, walk over, listen to music? Is that possible when you have live music on the show?
Our studios are not real big. I'll be honest with you, there's times when we have a difficult time actually fitting the musicians in some of the spaces that we need to use for live music. Part of what we're doing in our studios is reconfiguring them to make that easier. I don't think it's really going to become a great kind of audience space for music, at least in our current setup.
Okay, well, I'll let you go here. Thanks for everything. I really enjoy your station. Keep up the good work. All right?
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate the call. I think we have time for one more call. John in San Francisco, welcome to the Manager's Report.
Hey, thank you, Matt. I just wanted to echo what numerous callers have said, that you guys have a great station, and I'm a member, and I listen to it quite often. A couple things. One, I do want to echo the need, I think, for more local San Francisco news and good news, not only from San Francisco, but from around the Bay Area. You can listen to a lot of national news and other stations where it's constantly the same old rhetoric all the time about Middle East issues and gun control and all that, but it'd be nice to hear something local that you don't hear that often. And then the shows I like Hearts of Space on Sunday evenings, great way to end the week and start a new week, as well as your Saturday afternoon and evening shows. I love Tangents. I listen to that all the time, too. And the last ones are, I especially like when you started Tuesday nights, you have the TED Radio Hour and I can't remember.
Radio Lab.
And I think those are very interesting and educational as well. So that's what I've got for you. And,
great.
Keep up the good work, and I'll look forward to continuing listening.
Thank you so much. Well, it's a good place to end. I know there are still folks on the line and people who've emailed who I haven't been able to get on the air. I will do my best to respond off the air to everybody who got in touch this evening. Thanks to Rosalie Atkinson, who was handling our phone screening tonight, and to Joanne Marr, who's at the controls. If you missed any of this show or would like to share it with other folks, it's going to be archived at KALW.org within the next hour. And I want to thank you for keeping KALW connected to this community and humane and vital and creative after 75 years. Please stay tuned and stay involved. Thank you.
KALW is media sponsor for An Evening with Neil deGrasse Tyson on January 13th and 14th. Dr. Tyson is an award-winning astrophysicist and host of the TV show Cosmos. You can join him for an evening of engaging conversation on science, exploration, and the world as we know it at the Orpheum Theater in San Francisco. For more information, go to KALW.org. KALW is also media sponsor for the Berklee Community Chorus and Orchestra, celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. Their next performance features Leonard Bernstein's Chichester Psalms and a world premiere by local composer Kurt Erickson on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 8th through 10th at Hertz Hall in Berklee. More information at bcco.org. This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco at 7 o'clock.
Every month I get a report on who's watching, from what country. It's never a surprise to know that the United States is number one and Canada and Mexico. But sometimes it's like Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. We know we are reaching a much broader audience. And in some ways, we know that audience. It's where the United States was 30 years ago. And it really feels very comfortable for us to be supporting those people in their struggles.